it's a bit of an interesting one today. I nearly texted Matt yesterday and I was like, Matt, Mother's Day and the Valley Gate, really, the same day? Because it is a bit of a heavy one, I have to say. Let's just read the passage that it's mentioned in, just the verse in Nehemiah, and then you'll see where I'm coming from a little bit. So Nehemiah 3:13 says, "The Valley Gate was repaired by Hanan and the residents of Zanoah. They rebuilt it and put its doors and bolts and bars in place." And then it carries on about the Dung Gate. They rebuilt it and put its doors, bolts and bars in place. The bolts and bars give you a little bit of a clue. When we had this gate first put out, the kids ran through it, and the next week I came and it had been tie-wrapped together so that nobody could open it. Bolts and bars were put in place for a reason. Nobody really wanted to go through the Valley Gate, and we'll see why. So we're going to go on a bit of a journey, as you do through a valley, and hopefully, we will come out the other end, thankfully, in God's glory. But just be prepared, because we're going to go through a bit of a journey. There may be some triggers for people, so I just want to put that out there, because we're going to look at some heavy stuff. But if you can't look at the heavy stuff with God in church, where can you? So we're going to go through there and out the other side. So if you go to the next slide, you've seen this, hopefully, people that have been here before, you've seen this map before. This is off a website, and it shows the gates as we're looking at them through the Old Testament time. We've gone Sheep Gate, Fish Gate, Old Gate, and we're coming down that western side, the Valley Gate. So you'll see there's a big gap between the Old Gate and the Valley Gate where we've got to today. And in some of the commentaries that I've been reading, it says that like when people first become a Christian, there's a bit of a honeymoon period where everything goes really well and everything's really exciting, and then we start hitting the troubles again. That they're saying that distance is a bit like that in our lives. And actually in church history, they said is a bit like that. So everything's really good at the beginning, and then there was all the persecution, and things carried on even during Constantine's time, and lots of pagan rituals got engrossed into Christianity, and even right up to the Dark Ages, everything got a bit repressed. So a lot of commentaries were likening that gap there, a bit tenuous if you ask me, to be quite honest, but likening that to Christian history. But there is a lot that we can learn from here. So, as you can see, it's down on the western side. If you go to the next slide, this is a picture of Jerusalem, obviously a more up-to-date one because it's a photograph. And the left-hand side is down at that bottom bit there. And you've got the Jaffa Gate, which is what the old gate was, and then just below that, between the Jaffa Gate and Mount Zion, is where the Valley Gate is, still is. And it comes out onto this place called the Hinnom Valley. The Hinnom Valley was not a good place at all. We first hear about it in Chronicles and Kings, but they tell the same story. And I'm going to read you that section. So it's 2 Kings 23:10. And it's talking about King Ahab, who was not a good king at all. He was a Baal worshipper and wanted everybody to worship Baal. And it says in 2 Kings 23:10, "He desecrated Topheth, which was in the valley of Ben-Hinnom, so no one could use it to sacrifice his son or daughter in the..." Sorry, I've picked out the wrong one. This is when Josiah got rid of it. But what Ahaz was doing before that was sacrificing his son and daughters, people's sons and daughters, in the fire in that valley. So that valley was used by the Baal worshippers to sacrifice their children to Baal. And there's some pictures that show fires burning in there. And that continued for quite a long time until a good king came in and stopped that, Josiah, which is that passage, that verse, 2 Kings 23:10. And then we hear about it again in Jeremiah 7:23, where Jeremiah prophesies and he says it's going to be known as the Valley of Slaughter. So it hasn't got a good history. And even after that, it then became the dump. It was the dump for Jerusalem. Everything went in there, the fires burned in there, and so it wasn't a place that you wanted to go. And the words that became associated with that valley were suffering, filth, corruption, and evil. And Jesus actually referred to it where he talks about burning in hell. There's three passages where Jesus talks about people being judged and burnt in hell. And the word he uses is Gehenna, and that's the Greek word for Hinnon. So it's the same place. Jesus, for people's understanding, there was the hell as in the spiritual hell, but there was also a physical part of it, and he was referring for those people in Jerusalem to this valley. So it wasn't a good place. Nobody wanted to go there, and that's where the Valley Gate goes into. So you can see now why I was thinking, great, Matt, Mother's Day, Valley Gate, really good. But there's a lot we can learn. So if you go to the next slide, valleys. Let's have a little think about valleys. A valley is not a place that we want to go to. We don't particularly ever go to a valley. You don't kind of look up on the map to go, where should we go today? Well, let's go to that valley. It's not a destination. It's part of the journey, isn't it? We go through a valley to get somewhere else. So the first thing is, there's not really much there. We go through it, we don't go to it. The second thing is, it's not a place that we particularly want to go through. Often they're dark. Often they're quite foreboding. In the winter, they can be quite treacherous. Scottish army that got caught in was it Bannockburn, where they went through and the English army went through, and then the Scots killed them and ran, they all went back. There's a big song that they all sing up in Scotland. But an army generally doesn't like to go through a valley because they're very vulnerable at that point. There's people above them that can come down. We don't like being in the valley because we feel like we can be watched. It's much easier and much more powerful place to be on the mountaintop looking down or be above the valley. Who was it? Joshua talks about being on the mountaintop looking down on Midian, the Midianites were in the valley. So we want to be up on top. It feels very isolating and very vulnerable to be in the valley. But sometimes it's necessary to go through a valley. And these two pictures on the right here are pictures from Kyrgyzstan. And the road that you can see is the same road in both pictures. And it's actually part of the Silk Route. It's the road from the capital city, Bishkek, and it goes up to the lake. Issyk-Kul is the name of the lake. And it's the only road. And it goes through this pass. These are pictures in the summer, and it's an amazing drive through. Still quite dangerous in the summer. In the winter, it's treacherous. People die there. But it's the only road that you can take to get to the lake. So fishermen have to go up there. People who've got families, they have to go up there. They have to get through. So sometimes the valley has to be gone through, whether we want to or not. And all of us in our lives have valleys that we have gone through, are going through, and will have to go through. So I got to thinking, what are our valleys? What are my valleys? I'm not going to ask you to go anywhere today with God that I haven't thought through myself. So I was thinking, well, what are my valleys? You know, part of our story. Part of my valley, or one of my valleys that I've been through, that I think I'm only really just coming out of the other end of, is disappointment. We thought God had given us a plan for our life in one direction, and it got changed completely. It was a huge disappointment. And it's taken years, really, to get through that. And I feel like I'm really only just coming to the other end of that valley now. Another valley that we had to go through was a valley of trying to conceive. And we went through, I don't know, other people, there's lots of people that go through this, but there's lots of people that go through and don't share their story. We spent a number of years trying to conceive, and then I got pregnant and then had a miscarriage. And it was that was a real valley time. But we came out of the other end. We all go through different valleys. There's a valley of temptation. Some people might really struggle with that. There's a valley of anger and rage. We might go through that valley. There might be a valley of bitterness or hatred that you're going through. They aren't the mountaintops, but they do get us somewhere, and they get us out to the other end. So this morning, we're going to have a look at three valleys that are quite common to us. Some of us will have gone through them, some of us may not have gone through them, but we're going to have a look at three valleys and what God would say to us to get us through out to the other end. So let's have a look at the first one. The first one, I'm starting with the biggest one, so we're going to go from the bottom and work our way up. The first one is the biggest, the valley of illness or death. And as you know, we've got Imogen in our family. We weren't expecting to have a child with special needs. We weren't expecting to have to deal with epilepsy on a daily basis. Illness is hard work, ongoing illness. And I know some of you live with chronic ongoing illness every day. And it's difficult. And it's not what you would expect. But we're in that valley. The pictures there are Death Valley, not the bottom right-hand one, but the other two are Death Valley over in America. It stretches on for miles. So it's hot, it's horrible to be in, goes on forever. And it feels like that, going through daily illness or going through something that you think, actually, I don't know where this is going to end. Am I going to get healed or am I going to spend my eternity with the Lord in heaven? And we just don't know. And you see that big, long road stretching out ahead of us, which seems eternal. But God has things to say to us in that valley. And we all know this psalm. We all know Psalm 23, but sometimes we don't take the time to go back and really see. It's famous for a reason. You know, if you speak to a non-Christian, the only psalm that quite often they will have heard of is Psalm 23. But there's a reason they've heard of Psalm 23, because it is a very valuable and powerful psalm. So I'm going to read it out to you. If you've got your Bible, feel free to follow. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his namesake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, or the valley of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Wow, some good stuff in that. So what are the things that are important to remember when we're going through that valley? Well, the first thing he says is, "I will lack nothing because the Lord is my shepherd." The shepherd, we looked at the sheep gate, didn't we, a few weeks ago. The shepherd provides everything for their sheep. The shepherds in the Old Testament times did everything for their sheep. They made sure they were together. They gave them food. They took them to the right pastures. They protected them at night. They took them into the fold to protect them at night. They only left them out on the pasture when they knew they were going to be safe, and they stayed with them. They had a relationship with their sheep. They called them by name because they knew them so well. Here in Britain, we drive sheep from the back. Out there, the sheep followed them because they loved their shepherd. I read an article yesterday. It came up on my Facebook feed about sheep being like dogs. And they are. We're quite faithful like that, and they get to know their shepherd. So we don't need to fear, and we don't lack anything because he's our shepherd. He is with us. Then it says, his rod and his staff comfort us. Why? Why would a rod and a staff comfort us? Because they bring protection. They're the things that he uses to keep us going when we're going off track. He would have used his rod to kind of just go, no, come on, over this way. Don't go off the cliff there. Come on, this way. And he would have used his staff to protect them. When he took them into the fold and he lay across the gate, he became the gate. And he would have stopped any wild animals getting in using his rod and his staff. He protects us in that way. And his goodness and his love are with us. It says, verse 6, surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And then I've got that picture on the bottom right there. That's a picture of Lathkildale in Derbyshire. It's quite a long dale, but in the middle of it is this section where the water just opens out, and it's really peaceful, and you can see everything underneath it. And it just, when it says there, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. My mind went to this place. And that's what he does for us. When we're going through that stress of daily living with illness, or we're going through that fear of what is going to happen and everything's in turmoil, and we know that we're going to be with God for eternity, but all that stuff that's going on inside us, in our emotions, he takes us by those still waters. And he brings us to a place of comfort. And we will get through that valley. We'll come to that later. Let's go on to the next one. So the next valley that I put up is the Valley of Depression. Quite a few of us have journeyed through there as well. Some may still be in that valley. Some may be out the other side of the valley. And sometimes with people that are struggling with depression, you might go through the valley, come out, have a little bit of a vista, and go back into another one. It's a difficult one, depression. And I bought these ones because, for me, when I think about depression, it's one of those things that you're in on your own, you're isolated, and everything's very steep up the sides, and there's no way of getting out. You can't see very far. It's really hard to gain perspective, to see around any corner. You can't get up, you can't scale the sides and look down and go, oh, look, the end's just round the corner. It feels like it's never going to end. It doesn't seem like there's any way out, and you feel like you're there on your own. The top picture, I don't actually know where that's a picture of, but the bottom one is a place called the Valley of Shadows. It's called the Sandhan Valley in India, and it looks an amazing place to go. I'd quite like to go there now. But all of these things, it was very, very narrow. People who've been through depression know how difficult a valley that is. But if you go to the next slide, I want to take us to another psalm. And this is Psalm 84, and it's just a short passage out of that. I'm going to read this out to us. It's from verse 5, 6, and 7, and it says, "Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca," Baca means bitterness, "they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion." And a few things that I just wanted to bring out of that is sometimes we can gather strength. Sometimes we can look to God when you're in a place of depression and you can gain strength through that. But sometimes this psalm is for those that are traveling with somebody who has depression. They may feel like they're on their own. But this top one is that Sandhan Valley again. And I could not find a picture of a person wading. There were loads of pictures of the wading through the water in the gorge. But I couldn't find a picture of one person on their own. And I think that's quite significant, because when somebody's travelling through that narrow gorge, you need to have people with you. And I think for those of us that travel with someone who's got depression, we are the ones who can seek that strength from God and who can travel through and make it a place of springs for the others that are around as well. So that when they come out, they come to a place of springs like that. It's a hard place to journey through, and we need to be journeying with them. And sometimes the people who are struggling and feeling isolated can't turn around and see, actually, my whole family's behind me. We need to step in and surround them and hug them and make them know you're not on your own here. You're not travelling through this valley on your own. We, as your family, we as your church family, are travelling with you. And I think it was really significant a couple of months ago where some of the guys came forward and said, I'm struggling with depression. I think it's really important for all of us as a church family, for those of you that maybe are, to be open and say, I am struggling with this, so that others of us can come alongside and say, we will journey with you. We'll be with you in this valley. And God will bring you out to the other side of it. That's an amazing verse. Focus on that. If you are one of those people that's in that valley and feeling like you're on your own, do focus on this verse. It is an amazing one to keep you going, because you will get to a place of springs. The autumn rains will come and cover it with pools, and you will go from strength to strength. It's not a place to stop. Keep journeying and you will come through. Okay, let's go to the next one. This is the last valley we're going to look at. The Valley of Discontent. Now, as I looked through lots of different pictures of valleys, there were different ones. There was like that rocky, narrow one. There were big vista ones. There were all sorts. And then I was looking at these ones. Again, the top two are Derbyshire's, Lathkeildale again and Dovedale. And then the bottom one is Alameddine Valley in Kyrgyzstan. And it just hit me, actually. They're really beautiful. But in the Valley of Discontent, either we look at the things around us and it's never enough. We want something more. We want to keep going. What's around this next bend? Because actually there's more to this. This isn't beautiful enough. We don't value the things that are around us that we're journeying through. We don't see the beautiful journey that we're on. Maybe there are things around us, people that love us, that we're taking for granted, that we don't, we we just don't value what we have. Fostering that habit of gratitude, what they say, the attitude of gratitude, giving thanks daily is really important for us to really realise where we are and value the place that we're in. Or the other thing that happens in the valley of discontent is that we look at the things around, we go, this is just amazing, and we decide, oh, I'm going to stop here, I'm going to make my home here. But it's a valley. It's supposed to be going through to get to a destination. It's not supposed to be our home, but we make it so comfortable and we make it so beautiful that actually we go, right, I'm just going to stop here. And I'm not going to think about where I'm going to. I'm not going to carry on my destination that God wants me to get to. And the verse that God gave me about this was, there's quite a few of them. I've got a whole list and I can give you this, or I'll give them to put on the website. But this one, Hebrews 13, verse 5. It says, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. And it may not be money that we seek, may not be power, may not be relationship, it's all sorts of things. But when we feel that little tug of our eyes coming off God and going on to something else, and us desiring and pushing for that rather than pushing for relationship with God, that's when we're in that valley of discontent. That's when we suddenly go, oh, hang on a minute. I need to keep my eyes fixed on God and walking through that way. And Paul, of course, tells us to be content in every situation. And he tells us godliness with content is great gain. And really, in this country, we have all the things we need. We have all the physical things we need. For us, sometimes it's more emotional need that maybe we need from God to fulfill. So there are different valleys that we go through, different valleys that we're in. And now I've kind of like taken us all to that place of struggling through these valleys. I think we need to think about getting out the other side. So let's go to the next one. You all know this, I think, but valleys are places of learning and growing. Don't make the valley your home. Remember, it's a journey that we're going through. And this isn't a quote from the Bible, but it's a quote from Winston Churchill, and I thought it was quite profound, because it says, mountaintops inspire leaders, but valleys mature them. And I would change that from not just leaders, any of us. We've all had those experiences of the mountaintop places where we're excited about life and things are going amazingly and it's really good and it inspires us for the next part of our life. And then we get into that valley and the valley's tough, but the valley is where we grow. And if you think about, like, if I did a cross section of a mountain and then a valley, at the top of the mountain, nothing actually grows there. If you think about the mountains, like the picture you just saw in Kyrgyzstan, where they're really high, I'm not talking about our British hills, I'm talking about like the Alps and our mountains, you have the flora part, and then you've got a little part where kind of little shrubs grow that don't need very much water, and then you get to that part that's just rocky, and nothing will grow up there. If you go up there, the view is stunning. The view is amazing. I remember we flew over Tajikistan once, which has got an amazing range, and the view up there is amazing. But there's nothing growing. And then if you go down the mountain and into the valley, took my mind to the places in South America, the valleys in the tropical rainforest. It's lush. There's vegetation growing everywhere. And it's all those big waxy leaves. And it's hard to get through. But that's the place that the growing is done. That's the place that we mature. And when you're in it, it's really hard to appreciate that. But there will be a point where you get to look back and go, wow, yeah, that was tough. But I've changed and I've grown and I've matured. And there's things that I would deal with differently now from how I would have done when I first entered that valley. If you go to the next one. And then you get to the end of the valley. And there's a destination. And your destination, the top one is that Valley of Shadows in India. When they get to the end, there's a crag that looks out. You can see it from the side as well on some photos. Go and Google it. It looks like an amazing place. But look at that view. So you might get rewarded with an amazing vista. The bottom left is Porthcurno, that we most of you have probably been to. And you've got that valley that you have to walk down with all your stuff for the beach and like dragging kids down. And then it opens out onto this just stunning beach with the most amazing sand, isn't it? And it's just a lovely place to spend the day. Bottom right is Porthnanvan, down just off St Just. Murray's taken loads of pictures down there, and again, just that valley going down and then opening up. You're rewarded. And then the top picture is a place called Salbach in Austria. And I put that on because, not that that picture is my home, but maybe that is somebody's home. Maybe your valley, as you get to the end of it, and it's home. Whether it's a spiritual home, whether it's real home, whether it's heaven home, we get home. Or, with a little train there, the next leg of your journey, the next thing that you're going to go into. But you get to something. There's a destination at the end of that valley that you're going towards, that you're going to. And it's really important to keep moving through the valley. When you stop, you get stuck. You stay in it and you start looking around and getting fearful. There's a children's film called Inside Out. I don't know if anyone's seen it, a little cartoon film about emotions and the mind. It's quite a clever film, probably made by psychologists, I think. But there's a bit in it where she's in this thing and all she can see is the memories around her, and she kind of starts losing hope and not being able to move out of it. And if we're not moving forward, we start losing hope. And if we're not encouraging each other to move forward, we start losing hope. So it's really important that we keep moving and get out to the other end. And that's where we get a chance to reflect on where we've grown and where the places that have been tough and the changes that have happened in the valley. And there's a couple of verses I just want to take us to in that. The first one is Romans 5, because I was just thinking about where are the other valleys, where are the journeys in the Bible? And I was thinking about Jesus. And we're in Lent, of course, over this time. We've got Easter coming up. And Jesus' journey was that one of a valley, wasn't it? But then if we go to Romans 5, I'm just going to read you the beginning of Romans 5. It says, "Therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we've gained access by faith into this grace by which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he's given us." And then Hebrews 12, which says, "Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." Whatever valley you're going through, Jesus has walked that valley. It tells us in Romans, we don't have a God who is far off, but one who can relate to us. I can't remember the actual word that's used, but one that can relate to us, one that's walked that path, one that's been through that. He knew the suffering that he was going through, and he knew the glory at the end of it, and he kept his eyes fixed on that glory at the end. So whatever valley you're going through, know that your God is with you as your shepherd, but he's with you as your brother, because he's walked that path as well. He's been through immense valleys to come out to the joy at the end, to come out to the glory at the end. And all of us, if we trust in Jesus, at the end of it, are going to be in that glory. And that vista there is nothing compared to the glory that we are going to see and experience and live in with God. So the valley gate is a bit of a tough one, and we would quite like to bolt it and bar it and not never go through it. But just like in that city, there were people that had to go through that gate to deal with the things that were in the valley. God will lead us through that valley sometimes, because he will grow us. And he wants us to grow. And he wants us to learn. And he wants us to change. and be the best that we can be and reach the glory that we can reach. So the last one, this is for you to take away and think about, because in my other job, I'm a teacher, so that's what I do. So think about, what valley may you be journeying through at the moment? All of us have different journeys that we're on. All of us are in different places with God. What valley are you in at the moment with God? And then ask God, what do you say about this valley? What do you want to teach me about this valley? How do you want to comfort me through this valley? And for that bit, obviously prayer is really important. And letting the Holy Spirit speak to you and comfort you is important. But also knowing the Bible is important. So if you don't know what God is saying in this word about that, ask somebody. Ask somebody here and say, look, I'm going through this valley of, what does God tell me about that in his word? People here, Hannah, you know, any of the elders, any of the leaders, very happy to show you parts of the Bible that will tell you what he has. And then write it out, stick it on your fridge, stick it on your mirror, stick it on your visor in your car. Live by it. Because if we don't take them and live through them, that's what it means when it talks about the Bible being the bread of life. Those verses aren't just verses that we let kind of go through in one ear and out the other. They're what we live by. They're what keep us going. You need them constantly reminding you. If your struggle is with depression, write down the verses that speak into that about joy and about love and about comfort and about who he's made you, what your identity is. Stick them everywhere all over your house. Keep moving them, because otherwise after a while you don't see them anymore. Move them somewhere else. Make sure you're eating those words and living by them. Whatever your valley is, please don't leave this morning without thinking through, what am I going to do? How am I going to change? And we're all very happy to pray with you in that as well. So we have gone on a bit of a journey, and I seem to get these ones that are like really heavy. But that's when we change. That's when we do some work with God, because sometimes he just loves our worship and he wants to hear from us. In fact, all the time I know he wants to hear our worship and he loves us. But actually there's stuff that meaty stuff we need to get through with him as well. So I'm hoping that we've gone through that, and I'm hoping I'm not leaving you in a really down place, but actually there is glory to get to. There is a place to get to. And whatever you're going on to for the rest of the day, know that you are loved. Know that he is your comfort. Know that that rod and staff is there to protect you.